الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات كانت لهم جنات الفردوس نزلا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, my young friends, and mothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I had the honor to recite one very concise and a comprehensive statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before you, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam mentions, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. You cannot become a complete believer. You cannot become a complete believer until you like for your brother that thing which you like for yourself. You cannot reach the highest stage of iman. You cannot become that complete believer which Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to see until you don't like for another human what you like for yourself. حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. Until the kayfiyat and the condition of your heart doesn't become such that you wish only good for other people, or you only wish those things for other people what you wish for yourself. You are punctual with your salah. You are giving zakat in the path of Allah. You go for hajj and perform pilgrimage. You go perform nafal umrah. You are punctual with your tilawat and recitation of the Quran. You are punctual with praying your salah in the first row. You are punctual in going in the path of Allah. You are punctual in your daily ma'mulat. You are punctual in going in the company of the pious. You may have all these good qualities in your life, but one quality is missing, that you don't have that same sympathy and khair khahi for another person what you have for your own self. That according to this statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not a complete believer. Now the question arises that if you are bad and you wish bad for yourself, you commit adultery, or you steal things, you drink wine, you take drugs, you harm other people, you have spiritual illnesses within you, does this mean that you should also wish for other people what you wish for yourself? You want to fulfill your desires, and you should wish the same for another person, that he should also fulfill his carnal desires? These kind of questions, my brothers, they come to our hearts and minds because of two things. Number one, lack of knowledge. When a person doesn't have full knowledge of Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will have many questions in his heart and mind. When his ilm increases, his doubts, questions, and objections, they start to decrease and decrease. Qutub al-Irshad, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say, that Alhamdulillah, I have worked so hard on Quran and Hadith, and I have worked so hard in acquiring knowledge, that I have reached that stage now, that Alhamdulillah, I don't see any contradiction between two verses of the Quran or two ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says that umure shari'iyya, umure tab'iyya ban gaye. The things of sharia, they have become the things of my nature, meaning the things that sharia demands from us, that you should perform salah, you should fast in the month of Ramadan, you should spend in the path of Allah. These demands are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but me, alhamdulillah, through the fadl of Allah, now my nature has become such that I want to do these things. I don't feel any burden whatsoever. When ilm increases, when taqwa increases, then there is no doubt left in the Quran or in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not what this hadith is referring to, that if you are bad and you wish bad for yourself, you should also wish bad for another person. Then what does it mean by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you should wish for your brother, another person, what you wish for yourself? In this hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is referring to good things only. This is why in the riwayah of Nasa'i Sharif, there is a clear statement of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. That I swear by that being in whose control the soul of Muhammad is, meaning I swear by Allah, that none of you can become a complete believer until you wish for your brother what you wish for yourself in terms of good things, good actions. Another question may arise, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you everything in this dunya, or He has given you something in this dunya, you have a good house, you have a good car, you have a luxurious life, you have good clothing to wear, you have good glasses, you have a good phone, you have many good things in your life. Does this hadith mean that you should wish good for your Muslim brother, or you should wish that what you wish for yourself? Does that mean that you start giving your things away to another people? Or that you use it for one day and you give it to someone else to use it for one day? Then only you can become a complete believer. This is not what this hadith refers to. There are many interpretations given with regards to this statement of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should remember one of the great qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that he was Jawami'ul Kalim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him that power and that strength or that ability that he would mention short statements, but the meaning would be so much that until the day of judgment, people will continue to benefit from that small statement of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And people, ulama, the more they dive into it, they will continue to take out jewels and pearls from these small statements of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him that ability. In fact, something he would mention in a humorous environment as a joke. Even from those statements, ulama have deduced so many masail. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say that whatever I say is haq. One sahabi came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, you are in different states. Sometimes you're happy, sometimes you're sad, sometimes you had just woken up from your sleep, sometimes you are sleepy, you want to go sleep, sometimes you are tired. So do we believe in everything that emanates from your blessed tongue?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam said that from this tongue only haq comes out. Only haq comes out of this tongue. This is why one small joke Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made with a small companion, Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala an-nughair. One companion had a small pet and it died. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam found out when that small sahabi came in his company. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made a joke with him. That, "Oh Abu Umair," this was his kunniya. "Oh Abu Umair, what happened to your pet Nughair?" "Ya Abu Umair, ma fa'ala Nughair?" "The ulama have deduced at least 80 masail. 80. 80. Masail from this one statement of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Something which he said in a joke. Can you imagine his statements which he said it in a normal environment or normal condition? How much uloom it holds within it. He was Jawami'ul Kalim. Jawami'ul Kalim. This is why the alim class students, they read a book, Zadul Talibin. Zadul Talibin. The whole book has small statements of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Extremely beneficial for every single believer. Even this statement of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is from amongst these Jawami'ul Kalim. One interpretation given of this hadith is that you should wish good for your Muslim brother what you wish for yourself. Meaning if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with something, have the same desire for another person. And as much as you can, share it with another person. Like how the ulama give an example that if you have four rotis, and you have four people who are hungry. You have one roti and you have four people. If you were to split these this roti into four pieces, then none of them will stay alive. Because they are extremely hungry, then all of them will die. Then obviously at that time, when you have one roti, you will give preference to yourself. And you eat that roti. But at the same time, you should have this desire that I wish I had more, so I could give it to other friends of mine. I could share it with them. So when you have something, have the same desire for your Muslim brother. If you have a good house, have the same feeling for another Muslim. That I wish he also had a house. If you have a good car, have the same feeling. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with honor, wish the same for your Muslim brother. Unfortunately, our state has become such, my brothers, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with something, we want to have it ourselves exclusively for us. We don't want anybody else to do taraqqi and progress. And in no matter what field you are in, this has become so normal in our life, we don't even realize that this is a sin, and it is from the major sins which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extremely dislikes. Wish for your Muslim brother what you wish for yourself. Number one. Number two, second interpretation, that you should treat another person how you wish to be treated. If you wish that other people treat you with respect and honor, treat other people with respect and honor. Don't expect other people to respect you and honor you, and you keep disrespecting other people. Because this goes against this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You cannot become a complete believer until you don't entertain this good thought or this good quality which Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is mentioning in this hadith. The third interpretation of this hadith is that you should give mashwara to another person how you wish that another person gives you mashwara. There are two things here. Number one, many of us, we don't even do mashwara at all. We don't do mashwara at all. And we feel that it is beyond my dignity and my maqam and my status that I go and consult another person. My friend, when you go and do mashwara with another person, this does not make you small. And it does not make another person big. If a person has an expertise in a certain field, you should go and consult that person. If doing mashwara was going to bring your honor, respect and dignity down, then the paragon of Allah's creation, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, would not have been commanded by Allah in the Quran to do mashwara with the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, وَشَاوِرُهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Consult, do mashwara with the companions. Whereas every decision of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came from where? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a revelation. Allah made that decision. He didn't have to consult another companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, but to teach the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was commanded by Allah that you should do mashwara with the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And if you study the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, from amongst his salient features One of the great attributes you will find in his life was that he would always do mashwara. He would always do mashwara. This is why when we go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how are things decided? Through mashwara. Every small thing is decided through mashwara. So do mashwara. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. And another point to keep in mind is that when you go and do mashwara with someone, do not expose that person's name in front of another person. I would like to do business with another friend of mine. I go and consult this brother because he has some sort of insight in terms of business and trade. I do mashwara with him and he gives me sincere mashwara that I don't think you should go in this field and do business. Or I have heard some negative things about this person and I don't feel appropriate that you do business with this person and do a partnership. I shouldn't go and tell this person that I had firm resolution to do business with you, but I made mashwara with this brother, he told me not to do it with you. This is a common trend nowadays. Because of this reason, the person who is consulted, majority of the times, he's not able to give you right mashwara. Because they shy away from saying the truth. Because they're scared that if I was to give this person right mashwara, this person will go and take my name and create fights and create that hatred between us for the rest of our life. He doesn't want to get into it. But for those people who are consulted by other people, they should keep this hadith in mind that al-mustasharu mu'tamanun. When you are consulted, then you have to fulfill your responsibility with amana, with trust. It's a trust that you need to keep in mind and you need to give right mashwara. If you are scared that there is some sort of facade in me giving the right mashwara, then just simply say to that person that I am not in the position to give you right mashwara in this matter, in this issue. I think you should go and consult someone else. For example, if someone comes to me and asks me that, oh, your friend has a daughter and I would like to get my son married to that friend's daughter. I know what the condition of the daughter is. But her father is my best friend. If I don't want to give the right mashwara, then I don't think you should get your son married to my friend's daughter. Then simply just say to him that I think you should consult someone else. Don't give the wrong mashwara. Don't tell him that, no, it's good, mashallah, you should get your son married to her. Because you know deep down in your heart that this is not going to be a good union. Because the son is pious and the daughter of your friend, she's not pious, this is not going to work out. So you should give mashwara according to that which you wish from other people. If you had a son, would you have married your son to that daughter? Ask yourself that question. Put yourself in that person's shoes. If the answer is yes, then give that person that mashwara. And if the answer is no, then tell him that no, it's not appropriate for you to get your son married to my friend's daughter. You should be amin in giving mashwara. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. This is the third interpretation. So the first was that you should wish and have a good desire for your Muslim brother. If you have something to share with another person, share it. If you don't have enough, at least have that desire that, oh Allah, you have blessed me with this, bless my brother, my friend with this as well. And number two is treat your brother in the manner how you would like to be treated. And number three, give mashwara, that mashwara which you wish for yourself. And the fourth interpretation of this hadith mentioned in Imdadul Bari, in the commentary of Sahih al-Bukhari. And it's very amazing that stay away from hasad. Stay away from hasad and jealousy. Stay away from hasad and jealousy. Because if you entertain jealousy for another person, then you are going against this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And my brothers, there is no benefit in having hatred and jealousy for another person. You having jealousy will not stop that person's taraqqi and progress. Because taraqqi, progress, izzat, honor, respect is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala makes an announcement very boldly in the Quran. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Allah ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that make this dua that, oh Allah, everything is in your hands. This is why we keep hearing this. Nafi nuqsan ka malik Allah hai. Benefit and harm is in the hands of Allah. You cannot stop anybody else's taraqqi and progress. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Iyyakum wal hasad, fa innal hasad ta'kulul hasanat kama ta'kulun narul hatab. Stay away from hasad, Iyyakum wal hasad. This phrase is used for what? Something which is extremely dangerous. Usually Arabs, they use this phrase for staying away from lions. Iyyakum wal asad, Iyyaka wal asad. Be careful, stay away from lion. Because what's going to happen if you go close to the lion? It will take your life away from you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Iyyakum wal hasad, stay away from hasad. Just as lion is detrimental for your worldly life, hasad is detrimental for your spiritual life. Iyyakum wal hasad. Whatever good deeds you have, we have very few anyways. To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very few. If we have these evil traits within us, even those few a'mal and good deeds will be wiped out. And they will be burned because of that jealousy. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ahmad Pratap Gari Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho tum, kafe afsos kyun mal rahe ho tum, khuda ke faislon se kyun ho tum naraz, jahannam ki taraf kyun chal rahe ho tum. When you do hasad and you have jealousy for another person, you are actually doing i'tiraz and questioning the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I wish to have that much knowledge, I wish to have that much respect, I wish to have that much honor, I wish to have that much wealth, I wish to have that kind of house, I wish to have that kind of car, I wish to progress in my business, in my trade, I wish to excel in the position that another person holds. Why is he holding that position? Why does that person have that much respect? Why does he have that honor? Why is he working for the deen of Allah so actively? Why is he progressing in his business? How come he's becoming so wealthy? You are displeased with the decree of Allah, with the decision of Allah. Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho tum? Kafe afsos kyun mar rahe ho tum? Khuda ke faislon se kyun ho tum naraz? Jahannam ki taraf kyun chal rahe ho tum? The person who has hasad in his heart, he burns in this world. He burns in this world. Whenever he sees something, he will burn in his heart. He will burn in his heart. And this burning is not exclusively for this worldly life. When he will go in his qabr, he will burn in his qabr as well. And on the day of judgment, he will burn as well. This is the anjam and end result of hasad and jealousy. Stay away from this evil trait. Keep in touch with the mashayikh, those people who are expert in this field of tasawuf. People who are spiritual doctors, write your conditions to them. And they will tell you the cure to eliminate these spiritual illnesses that exist within a person's inward self and in his heart. I will end with one short story about this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there was one pious person, he had a lot of mouse and rats in his house. So another person told him that, you know, the simplest cure to this is that bring few cats in your house as a pet, and these cats will eat all the rats that exist in your house. The person kept denying, and after a few months, the people kept insisting and keep telling him that you should bring some cats. If you can't buy some, we'll buy you some. So he was compelled to tell these people, his disciples, that I can do that very easily. I have money, I have the means to buy cats, and I can bring these cats in my house. The cats will start to eat all these rats. But what's going to happen when the cat starts to eat these rats, one, two, three, the other rats will run away and will go to my neighbor's houses. How is it possible that something which I don't wish for myself, I wish for my Muslim brother, especially my neighbors? So this is why I'm trying to look for another way that these rats, they die. That they don't run away from my house and they inconvenience other people. Because I have heard from my teacher that لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه, that a person cannot become a complete believer until he wish for his Muslim brother or for a human what he wishes from him, for himself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to practice upon these ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and grant us the same passion to implement every single teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May he grant us tawfiq to make our akhlaq better so we can present this beautiful religion to Muslims and non-Muslims alike. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.